Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company this afternoon. And here we are, another Wednesday, the middle of the week. Well, it's time to take 25. Put your feet up, relax, pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're here with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
The King Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself. You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking all the records you thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. Are you ever gonna know if you ever even try?
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
It's a great song, but do you know, have you ever had one of those weeks where you're like, you just don't know whether you're Arthur or Martha?
Where did that saying come from?
Arthur or Martha? Mm. Oh, I have no idea.
Sounds awesome, doesn't it? I mean, it gets me thinking about who Arthur and Martha are. I think of that George and Mildred couple the minute I say Arthur and Martha.
Oh, yeah, weren't they fantastic? Half of our listeners out there will have no idea who we're talking about, but we must look that up, actually. Mm. Where's Arthur and Martha from?
Yeah, let's do that. It will be some very, very prominent characters in centuries gone by.
Yeah, it must be, eh?
Hmm. Anyway, your week's gone crappy?
Well, that's what I just don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha. So for our listeners out there, if this really sounds like a load of gobbledygook, well, there you go. We sometimes have weeks like that. We all do. Yeah, just a wee bit busy.
I totally agree. I think everybody at the moment, I mean, I've been the same. I worked all weekend as well when it's supposed to be, you know, helping people on the water, but it was full on hard work the whole weekend. And it sounds like our mate in the technical box there has had a hard one as well.
This last weekend. Now, the weather wasn't that great this last weekend, was it? We finally got some rain. Yippee.
Yes, I know. I think that's awesome. Yeah, it was just one of those things, you know, full on. 8 to 5 every day, so you don't have a... But that actually, this brings to mind something really interesting that happened to me last week. I had 3 different comments. The first comment sort of just left me gobsmacked and I didn't think much more about it. And then I had a second comment and then I had a third comment, all from different people at different times. They were all under 30 and all the comments were along the lines of... They have to work so much harder today than we did in our day.
Oh, bless. Oh, how funny is that?
I know, but hey, they were. I found it quite concerning because they were all really good people, nice people, but very genuine. They really believe that they do. And there was only one that I managed to get into a really in-depth discussion with a 25-year-old German chap. And his comments were that, you know, he really has to work quite hard from about 8:30 in the morning and often till 6 or 7 at night, and his work is very stressful. And I asked, you know, what he did, and he was an IT guy working in computers and that. And I said, so you're just working hard out all day, you don't get any breaks? Oh, yeah, we have an hour for lunch and we have morning and afternoon tea.
An hour for lunch.
And I said, do you get overtime? And he said, oh, yes, any time I work after 3 o'clock. He starts at 9 and any time he works after 3 o'clock is overtime.
Wow, that's not even 8 hours yet.
So I tried to figure out where he was coming from. I thought, okay, you just don't know, Irene, so ask more questions. So I said, so where's the stressful part of it? He said, well, you just have to work nonstop. You're sitting there in your computer and you've got to get all this work done and you've got to get it done by a certain time when the supervisor says it has to be done. So you can't sort of stop and relax. And he said, it's just working nonstop. I said, yes, until morning tea break. He said, yes, and then you have a 10-minute break. So you can see where I'm coming from. I'm not going to drag. I mean, I kept asking questions, and slowly he started to get his back up, and I said, look, I'm not going to ask any more questions because obviously I'm not doing it the right way because you're getting really aggro with me. Just let me tell you that for 20 years I lived on 4 hours sleep a night and the other 20 hours was just total work with no time for anything. And if I was lucky enough to stop and eat, then I took it as bonus, and I used to have to force myself to stop and eat sometimes because otherwise I just... So I said, you can see where I'm coming from. I just don't get it. So what do you think? Have you ever struck that before?
No, I haven't. But actually, while you were talking, I was wondering whether it's this technology that's been invading their lives. So for us, at least, we might have, you know, worked hard all day. Gosh, I don't think I've ever had an hour for lunch. But they're expected to still be around. So I'm just wondering if that's something with it, that they're expected to still be after 5 o'clock, still be, you know, contactable, and that they're, you know, they're answering emails and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. That's no.
When he finished. And no, there was none of that. No, definitely not.
I'm just
not
thinking generally, yeah, you know, with, yeah, people thinking maybe they work a little bit harder, because I think especially for our younger generation, that has, I think, become part of their workplace now. Mm. That scares me because I think, you know, 5 o'clock, turn anything off from work. That's
my
motto.
I'd agree with that. I don't think they should be on call to deal with things after they've finished work. They've got to have their time and their downtime and their time to play and plan and do whatever, you know. It's all about planning and doing what you want to do. I mean, you and I have been working all weekend because we chose to do that. We didn't have to do that. I just thought I'd bring that up because I just found it really interesting. And the other thing that I found interesting was that it's my generation, and we have to be careful when we're talking like this because your generation and mine are totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a 15-year gap here.
What are you going to say about my generation?
Okay, well, this is just it, you see. He turned around and told me my generation was to blame for all the pollution in the world.
Oh.
And I went, well, hang on a minute. We had glass milk bottles. We didn't have plastic bags.
That's true.
None of that. I mean, everything was very pure and natural back in our day. And he said, well, it's not my generation because my generation is so anti it. And I said, what have you got in your hand? And it was a plastic bag. I said, what have I got in my car? I don't have any plastic in my car at all. Everything I've got in my car is recyclable. Have a look around. And he said, oh, well, if it wasn't your generation, it's a generation that came.
It's my generation.
Your generation.
Oh, no.
And we're talking sort of like, and that made me think because the whole thing was the computers and the plastic bags and things. It all happened in a 20-year period.
It did, and it happened really quickly, didn't it? Because as you were just, as I knew that you were going to blame my generation, as you were talking there.
I don't blame anybody ever.
But you're right. I grew up in my early years where the milkman still delivered to the house, right. And it was glass bottles. And you're right. And then there was a shift to plastic.
I must say that I certainly, and I don't think my generation ever said no to all the plastics that came out because we just didn't know anything about it.
Well, that's true, you know? As well, yeah.
So we certainly didn't complain or say no because lack of knowledge, we were totally unaware of how bad it was going to be for the universe or even how big it was going to get. I mean, it just got massive. To have clothes that are just totally full of little plastic beads and that, you know, like microfiber clothes and all the rest of it, it's, I mean, it just went out of hand so quickly. And I don't think anybody in the universe knew how bad it was going to be. So I think the blaming and shaming is sort of a little bit, it's just, you know.
Although I do like his point that now it's his generation that hated it, which is great because at least they're pulling back now and going, hey, hang on, we've figured something out and we've got to do something about this. You know, it really annoys me when I go and buy apples from the supermarket and every single one of them has a sticker on it.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's actually loads and loads of stuff.
Mm.
It's only a tiny little sticker. But you're right. And then all of, yeah. So good on his generation.
I know. Well, I will agree with that. But it's our generation that are really fighting hard about it. It's our generation that is saying no more plastic bags. It's our generation that's really, really fighting to pull this back now that we've found out about it. And a lot of his generation, and when I say his generation, I'm talking under 30s, are dead against it. But if it means their discomfort is going to be, you know, they're going to have discomfort from giving something up, they're not so quick.
Yeah,
you know?
That's and when you think of it, when they've been brought up within this whole plastic marketing, social media, you know, you're right, it's been thrown at them every single moment of all of this stuff. And, yeah, and I want it now. And, well,
The one that was giving me the hard time and blaming my generation has bought 6 plastic bags into my home in the last week.
Wow.
And I have all these bags, biodegradable bags, for him to use. And so there you go. End of story. I won't go on about it.
But, it is actually quite interesting what happens in our generations. And when I think of my parents, they have been through an amazing changes, right from radio to TV to computers. When you think of what they've seen throughout their life, it's just incredible, isn't
it? I know.
Yeah.
When I first went off sailing in my boat, there were no such thing as computers.
Yeah.
The closest I could get to be able to continue my writing on a boat was a word processor, which you put little floppy disks in to save. So it was just like a typewriter that you put a floppy disk in to save what you'd written rather than print it out on a piece of paper.
And wow. Now for our listeners out here, now here's a real generational thing because I've never heard of those
You've
things.
Never heard of a word processor? Okay, well, a word processor was the beginning, the forerunner to a computer, but we didn't even know such a thing as a computer could be developed in those days. So the word processor was the step up from the manual typewriter. It had a little screen so you could check what you were typing. It was powered by ordinary electricity, and once you had your word page or whatever page up, you could save it to a floppy disk. And a floppy disk looks just like a Oh, what can I liken it to? You know the little car discs, the keys for locking in a car that they have in Mazdas? Seen them? It's just a little flat disc, about twice that size, a square one, about twice, you know, the same thickness, but that size. And you just slid it into the side of this word processor and press save, and it would save onto this word processor. And then you could, this, what was called a floppy disk. And then you could send that floppy disk off to the magazine or whatever, and they would then put it in their word processor and print your article out.
Good Lord.
No, amazing.
Wow, isn't that, eh? And see what we today, gosh, with disks and USBs and everything else, it's just, wow. Well, I think we're just going to take a break for a moment, and we'll put on a, I think we'll put on a couple of songs, and we'll see you back here shortly.
Gotta get up and try, try, try. You gotta get up.
great couple of songs, but do you know, it still didn't really clear all that clutter in my mind, so I'm still a little bit brain dead and things are whizzing around there and I'm probably just still burbling on.
Well, that's fair enough. I'm a little bit like that today. I wonder how some of these amazing women, I have this new woman in my life who's one of my clients, and she was born with cerebral palsy in that, and, mm-hmm. and she has had a daughter and looks after this child totally and completely and very competently.
Wow.
She's just amazing.
Yeah, now that's incredible. A 24/7 job.
Yeah.
So back to your little chaps below 30 that don't think they work, you know, all hats off to her, because
exactly.
that's a huge job.
Exactly. She can't reach past a certain height, and so I'm redesigning everything in her kitchen so that it's where she needs it. Anyway.
So there we are. I mean, you know, we all work differently. We're all busy. We all have our lives, and whether those ones think that they work, that they really don't. But that's it. We'll see you the same place, same time next week.
Sugars, brought to you by Delacroix Communication, delacroix.co.nz.